There's a lot of effort and hard work to go to organizing something like this, and it's not easy to bring people together. And I know many of you have come from Windsor and Mississauga, I guess.
Sisters from Vancouver.
Wow, Vancouver. I'm ashamed to be an Ottawa resident, as you know, our community is very vast and large here, from all Arabic ethnicities. And I wish at some point, I guess, you know, they see a lot of demonstrations every day, and human beings, we naturally conform. But hopefully, conformity could be a short-run endeavor, and, you know, we stop being complacent and we take action. Just a couple of things about Yemen. Of course, you've heard about the facts. The sister said a lovely speech about some of the tragedies. And of course, I have some more facts maybe to add to that. And you know, for the past 4 years, it's incredibly difficult to watch our media, our CBC. I mean, the station's just right over here. It's, you know, we pay out of our tax dollars and to fund the stations, and the government pays towards that. And you got to understand that the CBC has to reflect all of Canadians. So this is a personal responsibility on ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Contact the moderator or contact the station themselves and say, well, why haven't you spoken about Yemen? Especially if our government is still going ahead with the $15 billion deal. I talk to people from our community. I'm not going to mention our fellow Canadians of other faiths, our French Canadians. It's us first. We are personally responsible for bringing out this information. Every day I had somebody close to me say, oh, did you know that Canada is funding the Saudi regime with $15 billion of weapons, as though this law passed today? Ladies and gentlemen, this was a contract that was signed by the previous government.
Yes.
So we know, and I'm not going to take away from Justin Trudeau's compassion. He is compassionate. Yes. He does advocate for all of Canadians. Okay? But he did make a couple of mistakes. And one mistake that he made, brothers and sisters, is he continued this deal because he didn't want Canada to have the reputation that we walk out of contracts. That's not a good reason. It's an excuse.
Yes.
Now, in walking with another politician a couple of years ago, and this is a politician that wanted our support. We support politicians all the time. We have good friends in Parliament Hill. We also have good friends in provincial parliament and the city as well. A liberal politician, and I'm not going to mention their name because I don't throw people under the bus like that. I'll give them an opportunity maybe to change their opinion a bit. A good friend of mine, he said, well, if we discontinue this $15 billion deal, ladies and gentlemen, that means 5,000 people in a factory will lose their jobs. So my question to him is this.
How many children are we losing?
So for those 5,000 Canadian families trying to make a living, and you know what? There are factories that manufacture weapons. It's not a bad thing to manufacture weapons because we use them for self-defense. We need them for our police force, for our military. And there are a lot of countries out there that you can give these weapons to.
Yes.
But I found something very disturbing. And I ask him that question, is, well, if we discontinue this $15 billion deal, that means that Canada loses monetarily. So my question to him again is, you know, you have a daughter, she's a beautiful four-year-old daughter of his. Do you care about her, Mr. Politician? Of course he does. Well, I go, did you know that those 5,000 workers coming to feed their families every day, did you know Because they're trying to feed their families. They're keeping 83,000 children starving in Yemen that died.
Shame. Shame.
So a lot of the politicians don't know these facts. Some do, and you know, try not to think about it too much. And this is where our responsibility comes in. This is a fact. This is a statistical fact. I'm not going to go about Yemen because I'm sure enough of that is said here and it's articulated very well. But I'll tell you, the average person checks their phone 150 times a day, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm sure you get the odd joke on your WhatsApp and your Snapchat and the Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, right?
Yes.
And of course, you get the jokes, you get those funny videos, and people like to take a picture of every meal throughout the day, right?
Yes.
So I'm asking everybody here, you know, 20% of that, ladies and gentlemen, let's commit that to the people of Yemen. 20% of that means 150 of your tweets or Instagram messages or your emails. 20% of that would be 30 times. Maybe if we ask for 5%, maybe that goes down to 5 or 7. 5 or 7 times. You know, I have a public page on Facebook that has about 5,000 followers. And I'm constantly by myself. Now, if he's on there, I'll probably get him to comment a couple of times. And obviously, there's a lot of people that do. But sometimes I'm commenting and defending the Yemeni case with people that are completely hostile. People that are racist. And then the Zionists come in and they say, get out of here, you Shia scum or Muslim scum or whatever. Right? Or, you know, and then obviously they use derogatory language, which I cannot say in front of the camera today. But what I would like from the university students, and this is my experience 20 years ago in university, I mean, I'm dating myself. I know some people think I'm in my 20s, but I'm close to 40 today.
Alhamdulillah.
what I'd like from the university students, don't reinvent the wheel. I mean, you have a protest like this. We've done a lot of protests before, but we see a brother and a sister making the effort. Let's endorse those protests. That's the one thing. Another thing too is there are organizations at your universities that advocate for children's rights across the world, for women's rights across the world, amnesty, human rights. Let's go out to these channels and ask them, do you know about Yemen? Have you covered that? And if they don't know, or if they're ignoring it because they don't know, maybe that's your cue to speak to them and educate them about this issue. Because I'm sure once they find out, they will come and join your protest. So that's one thing I'd like to engage with you today. Of course, in social media, it's so easy. I remember 20 years ago when we would do protests, we'd get 1,000 people depending on the incident. Some people, you know, will get 100, unfortunately, or 200 or whatever. But back in the day, we used to have to call people and give them papers and pamphlets and make some posters and whatever. Today, you get sent a message from Brother Firas and the sister, sorry, I forget your name.
Aliyah.
And all you have to do is tag 50 of your friends. Your job is done. Now, that takes a couple of minutes, right? If you spend 10 minutes, you can get 1,000 of your friends. And it's very easy. You don't have to go to the printer and photocopy all the papers and knock on doors. It's so much easier today. But Jim Rohn, the late Jim Rohn, says this. He goes, if it's so easy to do something, sometimes it could get very hard because it's easy.
Right.
It's easy not to do.
Right.
So today you have the most advanced technology. It's so easy to advocate, to show, to tell, especially the university students and the college students. If you're out there,
Speak to your faculties. Those posters, those should be in the universities. Take permission. Find your university and college laws and see what you can do. And that's where it all starts. And if young people don't engage, I mean, you haven't done much, right? Ajarakum Allah to all of you. I'm very proud of all the people that drove the 7 hours or 8 hours to get here and 6 hours. And I encourage you to continue to do what you do. And we fully support you. Thank you very much.